Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Midnight Garden. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. Please join me here between the parsley and the basil as we talk about things great and small, and then some other thing I always say, but I can't remember quite now. It's always great and small, though. Things great and small. Things that matter, things that don't matter, maybe something like that along those lines. I really ought to write this stuff down. But we are here for the show. I'm going to start off. Well, it is one thing I have to say, and I hesitate to say it, but there's one thing I have to say, and that is that I have made a recommitment to my sobriety. It was made on Sunday of last week, which at that point gives me 5 days, well, six, it's Saturday now, so 6 days of sobriety. I had a pretty major event on Sunday. I will not share all the details. It did involve another person. It did involve some activities that we could have gotten into a lot of trouble for. And it does give this other person some rather significant things they could hold over my head. So there are potential long-term consequences. There haven't been any immediate consequences, but there is a potential for more scrambling that I may have to do because of this. Keeping a good thought, and as I say, taking the trouble to recommit, which I hadn't done since the last time I kind of, well, can't say last time. There had been a period of several months over which I was rather cavalier about my sobriety. And that came to an end after a sort of a near miss on the kind of experience I recently had. And that was about 3 months ago. And so I've been looking after it well for the past 3 months. But then went quite overboard. And so I felt haven't thought much. Originally, this show, well, the first show that I did, which was like three shows ago, Mud Toe at Midnight, which started in 2012 or 2013, would have to have been 2013. So 5 years I've been doing various reconstrued radio shows. And I thought the point originally was going to be 12-step sobriety. It's what I originally talked to Chief Iggy about, and in fact, I was at a national sobriety conference in Houston when, not when the show debuted, but like the second or third show, and that was mostly what I talked about for the longest time. I thought it was good to keep that front and center in my thoughts at all times. I had a a rather momentous change in my life happened. I had been working a program for some time. I've been working a program since 2007. And then at some point, this is very shortly after that, I relocated to my large city here in the Midwest to pursue a PhD program at my large university in the Midwest. And 2012, 2013 is when all that stuff became unstuck. And I felt in very, very, very serious danger of relapsing into exactly where I was back in 2007. That did not happen. But as I said, in recent times, I had been taking more and more of a cavalier attitude toward my sobriety, taking chances that they should not have been taking. And then after a three-month period of sort of white-knuckling, we did come to where I was on Sunday, which is very, very bad. And again, I'm not talking about it. But it's as they say, you take it one day at a time, and that's where I am. Putting things back together, keeping my what I do have in my life going. I do have a job that keeps me going. I have a daughter and a granddaughter and a family who are, I was going to use the word supportive. I don't know if that's exact. Well, no, that's not fair at all, because the reason I would say well, the reason they would not be supportive is because I haven't shared things with them. So it's on me. It's not on them. Okay, so I don't know. Again, since this isn't really a show about 12-step anymore, I don't know how much more I should talk about it. You know, the first step is admitting that I'm powerless over my addiction and that my life has become unmanageable. And I think that was those things quite obviously true on Sunday. So, got to work it out with my, you know, with the help of my friends and my family around me. We'll find my way to the end of this. I think that's all I'm going to say. And it's all I really talked about saying, so that leaves me with 23 minutes now left to fill, which is usually the way these shows go. Now, if you're watching the Facebook replay, again, we do the show live on Blog Talk Radio, and then there's a replay on my Facebook page, Midnight Garden with Mudtoe Sasquatch. If you're watching on the replay, you will see that I am in an unfamiliar location. This is my bedroom at my mother and father's house. I try and sneak off to once every couple of weeks to see what's going on, help them out as much as I can, and soak up some free food and free gasoline because Dad always fills up my car whenever I'm here. So it's all good. All works out well. I like being here, and although it was difficult for me here for the longest time, now I'm going to slip into this 12-step stuff again. Because this is a place where a lot of my early history of acting out was centered on this, or my trying, not being here, but my trying to sneak out of here so I could, you know, go do what I wanted to do. And eventually moving out of here and getting to a place I thought that would make me happy, to have a place where I just didn't, you know, I didn't have to justify myself to anybody, I didn't have to sneak out or anything like that. And then it all ended very badly, but for the longest time, it was difficult for me to be here just for that reason, that I was always thinking about those times that I wanted desperately to be out of here. And I also felt that my being here was somehow a failure on my part because I couldn't do the thing that everybody does, you know, gets a job, goes out and gets a house, and then gets a bigger house, and then gets a bigger house, gets married, has kids, and all that stuff, and live happily ever after, and that never really happened for me. So being here, being in this place where I was when that sort of, those ideas formed, that that's what I had to do, was quite disturbing to me. I find that those thoughts have, I was wondering, since coming back after what had happened earlier in the week, would some of that stuff had come back, and really it hasn't. I'm feeling very, very secure and serene where I sit right now. I feel with some measure of confidence that I can go back, you know, because I got to work tomorrow. Life doesn't stop. At one point, I mean, I guess for some addicts it stops. It has to. But, and one might, again, this is something I need to discuss more with my therapist who does know about this. We have a plan for my next session, what did he call it? Relapse prevention. And do our next session all on relapse prevention. How do I stop this? How do I stop these things from happening? What is it that makes it suddenly happen? I don't know if it was so sudden. As I say, I had been holding on for a number of months before things finally came. See, there I am talking about it again. I told you I wasn't going to talk about it again, and I'm talking about it again. It's all that's on my mind, and it's difficult because I have not told my parents about it. So now I come in here, they're both asleep. Gosh, I hope so. And, you know, 10 minutes, I got to switch hands with the phone. They've worked so hard. They worked so hard to make me a creditable human being. And as they would measure it, I am not. and in many ways, as I measure it, I am not. So here I am. There's nothing in this that they immediately need to know. So I'm just keeping it to myself. I've often been cautioned about oversharing. I did share this on Facebook. I'm not 100% sure I should have. I did get a lot of good support, which made me feel good. But I'm still wondering, gosh, I'm really wondering if I should have done that. But having only my therapist to talk to, and that for 1 hour a week, it made me want to reach out. And so I did. And that's the truth. What do I have here? I was looking around. I have my computer set up here on the desk, which is my old desk, which was my father's desk before that, and probably his father's desk. His father's desk, my father, for generations have gone as we have this desk. Actually, that's not this desk, but this desk has been here. I used it for a while, and now I know before I used it, my father used it. And it's got a bunch of my stuff in it, a bunch of old stuff, because I just haven't ever properly gone through it, you know, figured out what's the stuff that's here, what's the stuff that they don't need anymore. And you know, I like going through old stuff, so I figure maybe fun to go through the old desk and see what's here and see what sort of philosophical meanderings it might cause. And I did find this is my Bucyrus library card. Gosh, that's shiny. You wouldn't think looking at this is for like a town of 12,000 library, but somebody put some serious. What's a picture of the mural, which is a big thing downtown? The mural, they put a picture of the mural on the library card, and here it is. And I can get into our library anytime I want. I can borrow a book whenever I want. I'm not sure that I have ever actually borrowed a book from the Bucyrus Library. My mother used to borrow a lot. I don't think she's borrowed for a while. I go down there sometimes and steal their Wi-Fi. Beyond that, no, it's a card. It's a shiny, good-looking card. It just hasn't gotten a lot of use. But here it is in my desk, and there it might stay. What's this? This is... Actually, this, I was going to take this home. What is this? It's a book of matches is what it is, but I can't quite get the connection I thought I might need, because I don't have matches at home, and sometimes the only thing I have is one of these big... I guess it's a candle lighter, but it's an industrial strength candle lighter. You know, you have the, you know, a big flame shoots out. Actually, no, I do know what it is, because somebody gave it to me. It was it's for like barbecues. So it's a big shot of flame to get the barbecue started. You know, with the lighter fluid and all that already on it, and then it's long to get you the hell away from the fire. So I mean, that's what I have in my house. That's what I use to light everything. So yeah, I'm blowing away candles and I'm blowing away incense because this thing is just far too big for the job. And I thought, well, you know, book of matches, be all right. I lighter would probably be better, but I don't do so good with, you know, the big lighters. I always end up, you know, flick, 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 and I always end up either, you know, scraping my thumb or burning myself somehow. So matchbooks, but I had a couple of. Here's another matchbook I pulled, and this was actually, I kept this as a reminder. Up, down, what am I doing? Here we go. I kept this as a reminder of another very bad, horrible, awful day I had many years ago. And this is the place where it's a matchbook from the place where this horrible incident took place, which I guess I shouldn't be showing you because now some of you may avoid it, fearing evil energy, or you may go there, you know, seeking evil energy, and I don't really want either of those two things to happen. It's a Cajun restaurant here. I'll show you the other side. People watching on Facebook will be able to see this. And Cajun food and blues, and that seems okay. But what took place there was not quite so okay. And another one of these things where there was sort of lingering consequences that might have ruined what's left of my life. So I kept the matchbook as a reminder. I said, keep this when I'm thinking about doing this. Here's the matchbook, and it'll remind me, you know, of what happened, and then I won't do it anymore. But you see, it's like for 20 years it's been sitting in this desk, so it isn't able to do its job. So if I need to, like, put it on a on a necklace or something and wear it all the time, ostensibly because I always want to have matches, but really because it's fending off evil in some way. Let's go to a happier one, shall we? I'm going through artifacts that I've just found in my very quick rifling through my old desk, my father's desk. And this is from a show I was in. It says Forever Plaid on it, and you may be familiar with the show. It's about a quartet of 50s, 60s style, close harmony singers. And I was in this show, and they gave us, at some point, we're supposed to present our business cards. And of course, the audience can't see them from the distance they are, but they made us up real business cards. Anyway, it says Forever Plaid. It gives our names, Frankie, Sparky, Smudge, and Jinx, and I was Smudge. And it says, we'll serenade your every affair. And actually, that would have been fun. It was the only show I've ever done that, most shows, I've done quite a few community theater style shows. And I had a lot of fun, but I was always ready for them to be over. I wanted, get to that sixth performance or ninth performance, whatever you're doing, you're feeding three a week. And, this was fun, but I'm ready, I'm ready now for the next thing. This is the only exception. Forever Plaid is the only show I've ever done that I would have been happy to do more of. And there's kind of that, there's a sadness that goes on along because I haven't seen, the show has been at least 10 years ago, probably closer to 15. And I'm Facebook friends with one of the guys, but I haven't seen any of them since. And we're tied together by the experience of having, because it's four guys who are on stage the whole time, basically. And you're all together. You're together doing all the rehearsals, and you're together doing all the technical stuff as you're getting them. And we're together while my face blew up because we were wearing white tuxedos and we didn't want to use makeup on our faces because we get on the tuxes and ruin them. And we were renting them, and we had to give them back. So. The director had the idea of having us use tanner, tanning stuff, and put it on our faces, and she had us exfoliate before we did that, which is to put some sort of aggressive cleaner on your face and get rid of all the dead skin and stuff, and then put tanning lotion on top of it so it would all be even. What happened was I had a bad reaction to the exfoliant, and I woke up in the middle of the night with my face all swollen. My eyes kind of swollen and shut, and it was pretty nasty. I had to go to the doctor, to the urgent care. Actually, I tried to go to work first, and I was teaching at that time. I went, woof, 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 woof. And he sent me to urgent care, and I got, I can't remember this, there's this stuff they give you, not Adderall, that's something else, medicine they give you for allergy. I can't remember, Allegra, is that it? They gave this for whatever they gave me a huge shot of that and sent me home. And by the time the show began, I was almost completely cured. But in that first our first night, I was still looking a little on the puffy side. And we got had my beard shaved, which doesn't happen all that terribly often. And did up my hair in a crew cut. And I'm kind of a heavy set guy, so I kind of looked like a high school principal from the 1950s, with a flat top and a crew cut, and with my glasses, those glasses they put on me, and it was a lot of fun. I used to have a tape of the show, but it's gone astray. I do have a tape. Well, that's a different one. I was going to say I have a tape of me being made up, but that was me being made up for the last show I did, where I played a woman, and they. I have a tape of where they designed my makeup for that. But anyway, we did this show, and, there were ups and downs and backs and forths, but we got the whole show done. And the last day before, before our final performance, we were, I believe it was the guy who played Jinx, brought in a beer for everybody, which is like strictly against the rules. But we did it anyway because we could, I guess. And I hadn't sworn off anything at that point yet, so I was able to enjoy that. I didn't I was able to behave myself to the point where I didn't suggest that we all go off to a strip club and not do the show. So I guess that was, I'm thinking of this, I'm just thinking of this experience with these guys. That's what we're bringing with this little piece of poster board is bringing back right now. And it's just, it's astonishing how you can mistake a piece of paper for people you miss or for an experience that you miss. The other thing I pulled out of the desk, there's any number of things in here I could pull out. Most of them just aren't terribly interesting. You know, I have a Sharpie. See, I doubt any of this stuff works. I mean, it's just, I've been sitting here for 20 years since I moved out of here in 2005. So that's what, 13 years? Most of this stuff dates back at least till then. This is a doodad my daughter brought back from her honeymoon, her first honeymoon, her original honeymoon. So maybe I shouldn't be going to jinx anything. She's with her second husband now, and that's going much better. So, here. I got scads of these. If anybody needs staples, I was a sucker for any special that would come out for staples. And I have in this desk probably far more staples than I could use. Here's some more. Far than I could use in two or three ordinary lifetimes. There's some more in there. Staples. Here's a couple smaller boxes here. I'm just loaded with staples. So I don't know if you're a staple dealer or you just like staples. You want to expand your own collection. You might want to get a hold of me on the Facebook page and perhaps we can talk a deal for staples. But that's not what I was going to show you. Here's what I was going to show you. This has my real name on it, so I have to cover that up with my finger. You can see my real first name if you want. This is a Bucyrus Area YMCA guest pass in my name, and this was when I had a membership there. It's been 2004, 2005, again, about the time that I finished living here. And they gave those cards out in hopes that we would then give them to our friends and that they would come and partake of the YMCA and join. And the YMCA would continue to grow and stretch toward its eventual goal of world domination. I was just thinking about this, and it isn't. My memory was a little bit twisted up on this. I thought that my back injury had happened at that YMCA, but it was actually at a different one after I had moved to Mansfield. But I had started, getting really serious about getting in there and walking on the treadmill and lifting weights and whatnot and getting up at 5 in the morning so I could do that and then be at work. Then I had a girlfriend who sort of encouraged me to get out of mom and dad's basement and find my own place. So I did that, and I started working out at the Mansfield YMCA instead. And the Mansfield one, obviously a bigger town, much bigger facility, much more people around. And that created, it was a very competitive atmosphere because they had these computers on each of the pieces of equipment, and you had to know how many you did and all that. And they would come back with your points, and people, if you got rewards for accumulating different numbers of points. So it was you're always aware of what you were doing and thinking about what the people around you were doing. You know, were they doing better than me? Are they getting more points than I am? Do they have more rewards than I am? So I was doing this rotation of weightlifting exercises. And one of them involved a leg lift, which was actually mostly a back lift. I only recently came to understand that with when I started doing my rehab on my back here in the past couple of months. And I started to feel it in my back. I started to feel soreness. And I should have stopped, but I didn't understand that. Now I'm going to work through it. You know, I would do my exercises and get my numbers and get my points. I'm going to work through it. And I woke up one morning unable to get out of bed. And I was still living here, but I was working, Yeah, I was still living here, but I was working in Mansfield, and I was doing the YMCA in Mansfield. And he drove me to, my father drove me to the emergency room, and where they told me it was a back strain, and they gave me some really excellent drugs and sent me home. And, you know, the back problem was essentially permanent from then on. I mean, I didn't bother me all the time, but it would bother me with no warning whatsoever. And, you know, I'd be laid out in bed until it went away. You know, after a while I ran out of the drugs, and it was only the last time that this happened, which was, my apartment in Columbus, where I was told you don't want to use opioids for that. You want to use anti-inflammatories. This is after 12 years of this, 13 years really of this going on. Now, how does that fit into what we've been talking about today? I'm not sure. I see that experience as a good one. You know, that I learned something, and I can proceed now without the fear that this back pain is going to interfere. But on the other hand, it's sort of taken something away from me. It's taken away an excuse for me to try to move forward. Well, you know, there's no reason for me to try and move forward, because, you know, my back is just going to start hurting at some point, and I'm going to lose whatever it is that I worked for. Well, now that's not going to happen. And so I've been bolder about, you know, about job fairs and applications and such, and nothing has really come of it yet. But that makes me wonder, that sort of the anxiousness which comes with, my God, I may actually have to fulfill my potential now. Here's one more thing that's fallen away, you know, one more excuse that I meant to, you know, I wasn't going to be the mud toe we all thought I would be, and maybe that's something that drives me towards acting out. The idea that I may be compelled to do what I can, to do more than I'm sort of settled into this state of being, which I complain about a lot, but I don't do a whole lot about getting out of it. So now, okay, don't have that to complain about. What else? What else are you going to complain about, Mato? And, yeah, it's... makes me wonder. Things that make you go, Things that make you go, Am I really engaging in these every once in a while big old blow-ups in my life just so I can have a continuing excuse to not eat? Interesting. I'm going to leave you with that to think about, because we've hit the end of our time together for this evening. I want to thank you so much for listening. So it's great to have somebody to talk to, and I will be back next week with more news and notes for you. So thank you once again, and have a pleasant good evening.